Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome in Zoom land, too. Let's start with prayer. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, we're just so grateful and so thankful, Lord God, yes. that you choose to meet with us, Lord God, when there are more than one present, Lord God, even with one-on-one, Lord God, you choose to meet with us and be with us, Lord God. We ask that you be with us today, Lord God. Reveal to us what it is that you're speaking in this hour, Lord God. And may you receive glory and honor in all that is said and done in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You got me today? So we'll do like a little recap. You know, last week, Pastor Janine spoke about Luke 18 and on prayer and perseverance. And we all know this is a praying church. We pray a lot and we do persevere in prayer. And one thing she said that really stuck with me is prayer is earthly license for heavenly interference. We give permission for heaven to interfere in our lives to bring the glory of God. And then she used the example of the hand. I love that example, you know, where the thumb is closest. So you pray for those that are closest to you. The pointer finger is to pray for those who point the way to Christ, the teachers, the mentors, and the middle is the tallest, the index finger. And those that reminds us to pray for those who are at the top, government officials and people that are over us in governmental ways and those type of things. The ring finger is the weakest. And we pray, reminds us to pray for those that are weak, struggling, and those that are really going through difficulty right now. And the pinky is the smallest, and that should remind us to pray the least for ourselves. Because really, there are more important things. Not that I'm not saying that personally you're not important. It's just when she was sharing that too, I thought of the hand, you know, and the palm of the hand and how the Lord holds us in the palm of his hand and nothing can pluck us out of that. So that to me, that was a really, was a wonderful promise that we get from God. And we can continue in this state of grace when we persevere knowing that the end is better than the beginning. We have to remember the end is always better than the beginning, and he hears us and he listens when we persevere in prayer. And, you know, she also shared about the answer, yes, no, or wait. And I'm sure we've all been on that side where the Lord has said yes to prayers and no to prayers, which the most difficult thing, though, is to wait, I believe, at least for me. And that's where the patience has to be developed, you know. And he's not only asking us to wait, but to persevere in that waiting. And it requires us to do something that will bring about change. And that's what God's always looking to change us, to conform us, to transform us into the image of his son, Jesus. I think of, you know, we've shared that before about how an athlete, he trains. He trains and trains and runs the race to win the prize. And that's what we do. The Lord is training us to win the prize. And then the prize is Jesus. We all know that. I feel like I'm preaching to the choir here today. But so what I wanted to share today is in Romans 5. And I just love Romans 5. I love all of Romans. Well, I love all of Scripture, but Romans is one of my favorite books. And in Romans 5, this is, again, this is known. I'm sure everybody's heard this before. It starting with verse 1, therefore. And I heard a sermon one time that said, whenever you see the word therefore, look back a few verses to see what the therefore is there for. And Paul is talking about being justified by our faith. And he says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. When I read that, this justification by faith, our reward from that, well, really, we have faith, but it's like a mustard seed, God justifies us. It's not a work that we do ourselves. And it goes beyond like being obedient, obeying all the rules and the regulations and all that stuff, The peace that God brings is a condition in our lives, where we live in this world. It's so fractured and it's so violent and it's so hostile, really, to those of us that believe in Christ, we can have peace knowing that we rest in God, and we can walk against the current because his grace is sufficient to get us through. And we have the prospect of a future glory that makes us able to rejoice in sufferings. Now, I don't know about you, but that word suffering has always been like kind of ruffled me. Like, what's the point? Why? Like, can we just kind of like skate through life, And that calls into question every time where the heart is. Where is our heart, Especially in the hard times. I don't know. I know everybody in here has gone through their trials and tribulations, and it's different than suffering, I think, but that's for another word. But we can get to a place where we feel like we're all alone. We internalize the idea that this has come upon us because of something we've done or something we haven't done, or a sin that we've committed. And that really is the spirit of religion, saying that you're getting paid back for doing something wrong. And that is not how God operates. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace we have been saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." This is a gift God gives us. And who thinks of suffering as a gift, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I don't, and it brings to mind like so many images of death and of despair and agony. And I see people that have been suffering with health issues, for a long time, and, lost relationships that get broken because of either sin or somebody's just not willing. There's feelings of loneliness. I know many people go into deep depression. And it's like, this is something that that is inherent in us. Because as soon as we're old enough to know the first hints of suffering or any kind of discomfort, we start seeking the quickest way to get out of it. How do we get out of this, And that's like our psychological instinctive reaction to pain and suffering. I think about it like a hot stove. When you go to touch it and it's hot, the first thing you do without even thinking about this is what you should do. You pull your hand back, and because you want to get away from the heat. You want to get out of whatever the suffering is going to cause. But facing that suffering in our conscious mind is even harder than that, because we have to make choices. And I don't know about you, but in my life, I want to get out of suffering. I don't want to be in the midst of it. I question well, it doesn't make sense. You know, why is this happening? You know, and there are really some of those are don't have answers. They really don't have answers. But we have to remember that suffering is one of our biggest teachers. One that gets us to know in one form or another, Jesus, who is in the midst of it with us. We are not alone, you know. This is something I read in one of the devotionals, this quote, and I didn't write down who said it, so I apologized. So I can't like attribute it to somebody, he said, mountaintops inspire us, but valleys mature us. Mountaintops inspire us, but valleys mature us. How many know that's true? It's very true. Mm-hmm. And that should bring us to glory. Glory and tribulation. I don't know about you, but I'm not really, I have a hard time with that. I really do. And I'm just being honest here, you know. I looked up some definition of glory and in the dictionary. You can use glory as a noun to praise, honor, worshipful, thanksgiving, giving glory to God, something that secures or makes known praise or renown. As a verb, it means to rejoice loudly. Interjection, used to express surprise or delight. How many of us are surprised when trials come upon us? You know, we shouldn't be surprised. Scripture tells us that we will have trials and tribulations in this world, but Jesus has overcome this world, you know? And I always have the question, okay, why? Why do people have to suffer? Why is the suffering what we need? And I don't mean like suffering. We have trials, we have tribulations and sufferings. And I think trials and tribulations are totally different than suffering. Trials and tribulations to me are those little things in life, you know, those things that hurt us or wound us, the traumas we experience, you know, broken relationships. But suffering are things like, you know, like Jackie suffering through what he has suffered through. We don't see an answer, but there's God is in the midst. He has a plan, you know. The people, you know, in China and in Africa, they're being martyred. That to me is suffering. When you take a stand for Christ and somebody says, you know, you're either going to deny Christ or we're going to kill you. And they choose to suffer martyrdom, you know. So I think a lot of us we have to remember that our trials and tribulations sometimes aren't that. I don't want to say they're not that big. I don't want to discount anybody's trial because they can be difficult. But there's a purpose in all of it, you know, to produce patience and perseverance and character and hope. You know, sometimes I think in this instant world, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just instantaneously get all this stuff, you know? Heck, I could go online and instantaneously get something from Amazon in a couple of days, you know, like I want this and it comes the next day. The same day, exactly, you know, and but I think suffering, trials, tribulations are primary ways that we develop these characteristics that display Jesus in our lives. And I know in my own life when something comes up, some difficulty, you know, I have two options. I look for God or I look for a way out. And every time I look for God, he's noticed. I notice him. He's in the midst, you know. And it becomes apparent that he's working everything for good. everything for his kingdom purposes, everything, not just for us individually, but for others, you know, and he works something good in that whole situation. Here's a couple of scriptures, and I'm going to be giving you scriptures. You don't have to look them up. You can look them up later. And most of these are scriptures that we've already heard. Like I said, I feel like I'm preaching to the choir, but sometimes when God says something more than once, we really have to listen. Isaiah 40:31, those who wait, and that word wait there means hope. Those that hope on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And Psalm 27:14 says, wait in faith on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. What a great promise. What a great promise. James 1:2-3, count it all joy. Count it all joy. And I laugh, I snicker, because I have a hard time counting it as all joy, you know. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, perseverance, you know. And in that trial, in those times, those difficult times we go through, we anchor our hope in God. We anchor ourselves to the one who is hope. He is the author and the source of hope. He's the author and finisher of our faith. And when you break hope down, you break it down, it's a confident, joyful expectation. How could you not be joyful when you know, and you know, remember that word know, when you know that there is a testing going on that produces something beyond where we're at and who we are, and beyond our trial at the moment, you know. So in trials, hope awakens in us some things. If we choose, you know, we can choose to look to God and we can choose to look away, but it awakens in us because we know that God is with us and working for us. We're not alone. The process can be hard, but it far outweighs any pain that we experience. And our confidence can be unshaken because we know that God will always be with us. And how do we know that? Because his word says that. He says that. He is the word. So in the scripture, you know, we have tribulations producing perseverance, persevering producing hope. And then it says hope does not disappoint. How many have ever hoped and been disappointed? I don't know about you, but when there's hope in the Lord, there's no disappointment. There is no disappointment. Because God will generously pour into our lives, especially during these times. He does all the time, but especially during those times, you know, he shows up and does something special in our hearts. He pours out love. And he pours out a new perspective. Like, we can look at life differently. We can begin to see his perspective from things, you know. The mountaintops inspire us, but the valleys teach us. They mature us. And, you know, we see a different perspective. God might be doing something like, oh, he wants to smooth out some of those rough edges in our lives, you know. I know I have a number of those. And he gives us a perspective of seeing others in different ways as well. We can see people who are going through the same thing. And there's compassion and empathy, and there's an opportunity for us to display Jesus to those going through rough times as well. And there's a testimony that God is faithful. If he's brought me through, he can bring you through as well. And this is another one of my favorites. I have a lot of favorites, don't I? 2 Corinthians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and of all comfort. Know that. Know it. The Father of mercies and of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the same comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. It's a whole full circle. God comforts us. We can comfort others with the same comfort that God has comforted us with. Isn't that cool? So we need to get in a place. And how do we get in that place where we rejoice in suffering? Paul tells us we rejoice in suffering because we know. We know. We rejoice because we know something. It's not just a great feeling to be hurt, obviously. And it's because we know something about it, and we know something about the one who is with us. And it's something about our faith that enables us to know. I kind of look at it like inside information. Okay, God. And I know, you know, we've all had those moments. And if you haven't, ask the Lord that he will personally speak to you. And I've had those moments where God has personally spoken to me. And I know that I know that I know. I know that I know that I know. So suffering, we know, and this is another thing we know, that suffering produces perseverance. And it's productive. It works. And that what makes us rejoice. You know, those of us here, and I think all of us here, yeah, that we've gone through the pain and the suffering of childbirth. I mean, let's admit it. There's a lot of pain, you know, there's a deep pain that you experience. But remembering afterwards the joy holding that new life, you know. Rejoicing in that pain, rejoicing in that time of trial. Because there's something of great value being produced, coming forth from our own lives, you know. So the Apostle Paul here determines that there's three things that suffering produces. I'm kind of backtracking a little bit, but I'm a little ADD today, so that's my excuse. I'm sticking to it. First, suffering produces perseverance. A lot of versions, instead of perseverance, they have the word patience. I don't know about you, but I prayed one time for patience. And guess what? God tested me with having patience, and he taught me how to have patience. The Greek word literally means to abide under, to stay under pressure. Under pressure, that's a hard one too. I know there's pressure, something we want to get out from under, but suffering teaches us to stay under, to stick in there and hang with it. The perseverance, the steadiness, the stick to it kind of resolve. And I know many people that have gotten to a point where the suffering, they just want to give up. And that's where the perseverance needs to take hold and cause them to continue on, you know, dig their feet in. And some people call it stubbornness. I'm stubborn in God. I can be stubborn in God because I know that I know that I know that the trial is for a mere moment, but there's something being formed and produced in me. The second thing that suffering produces is perseverance, and that's endurance. And that produces character. The Greek word for character carries with it the idea of being put to rest and approved. It's the idea of being shown to be reliable. Interesting, isn't that? As perseverance produces the character in us, and we're talking about the character of Jesus, we form a strength that makes us a more authentic women of God. We can be real. We can be authentic with the testimony and the faithfulness of the love of our Savior. A mirrored reflection of Jesus, who he himself counted it all joy to endure suffering on the cross. Third, we find this authenticity produces hope. And the hope is that we will share the glory of God. What's the glory of God? His son, Jesus. We have the hope that God is producing the image of Christ in us. And this is a certainty. It's not just a possibility. This is, Scripture tells us, he's transforming us and conforming us and making us, molding us into the image of his son, Jesus. We are being changed through the trials, through the tribulations, through any suffering. We're becoming more like Jesus, more compassionate, more loving, more relatable, and more authentic. And then, as we walk in that hope and we walk in that character, it doesn't disappoint. His love does not disappoint. Romans 8:28, and it's because of our hope that we do not lose heart and have confidence that we will see the goodness of the Lord. Know that. You will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Well, that's the next scripture, Psalm 27:13. I would have lost heart had I not believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Man, this has been, this scripture too has been an anchor for me for a long time. When I see things that are not changing, things I prayed for have not been answered, know that. Know it. Know that that anything we go through is not in vain. It serves a purpose. It tests and develops our faith. Trials are like a refiner's fire, which removes all our impurities, all those things in us that deny who God is. And when we endure it to the end, it proves that our faith is genuine and real. And as you come out, if you're not going through a trial, you will be, sorry to say. If you have been through one or are in the midst of one right now, know that God is with you. Know that you are being formed and transformed into his character. Know that he produces the faith. It's his gift to us. And know, if you've come out of it, you look back and you know that grace and mercy had followed you all the way through it. His grace and mercy, Psalm 23 says, grace and mercy follows us all the days of our lives. Doesn't lead us, follows us. Okay, I'm just going to, I got kind of caught up in all these scriptures, but they are so good. I just have to, and I want you guys to know this. 1 Peter 1:6-7. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, and he's talking about trials and tribulations, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You want a new revelation of Jesus Christ? Look in the midst of your trial and you'll see it. You'll see him. Hebrews 11:1, without real faith, we have no real hope for this life or the next. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance or the realization of things hoped for, the evidence, the confidence of things not seen. And if being Christ-like is our goal, we're able to rejoice during those difficult times. Psalm 35 says, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Sometimes the night lasts longer than we want it to, but the morning will come. The morning comes, and there's joy in the morning, you know. Some of you think that, you know, there's ashes, and there is a promise. No, that God gives beauty for ashes. And he gives the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You know, that joy is something that, it's not happiness, but it's something that God gives us that we can have as we go through these times of difficulty. His promises know that one day he makes all things new. There will be no more sorrow, no tears. That's in Revelation 21. And it's our joy that will never end. That's Psalm 16:11. So again, we're a praying church, and we know that God hears our prayers, and he hears and he listens. You know, there's a difference between hearing what somebody says and listening to what they say. His ears are not dull that he cannot hear, nor his arms too short that he cannot save us. That's Isaiah 59:1. We can have hope in knowing that God sees us in his suffering, is compassionate and merciful to deliver us when we call on him. That's Psalm 34:17. And now, even if we don't know how to pray, his spirit in us knows our weakness, and he intercedes on our behalf. Isn't that marvelous? He brings comfort in the pain. That's, again, that 2 Corinthians, that we can comfort others with the same comfort where God has comforted us. He draws near to the brokenhearted in the midst and the crushed in spirit. Are you brokenhearted today or crushed in spirit about something? Know that he's near you. He's with you. Psalm 34:18, that is. And even in the darkest season of our life, we can always turn to Jesus and find encouragement. He knows everything we're going through, having gone through suffering himself. He's the suffering servant in Isaiah. Describe his suffering in Psalm 22:6-8. And he empathizes with us because in his humanity, he understands how we feel. Heals us and binds up our wounds. That's Psalm 147:3. John 16:33, Jesus speaks and says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world, you'll have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So we can have hope because God's already given us the victory. And hope that does not disappoint. Does not disappoint. And your trials and tribulations that you're going through, they're not going to have the last word. It won't be the end of you. 2 Corinthians 4:8 says, though you may be pressed and afflicted in every way, you won't be crushed. Jesus will sustain you and keep you in perfect peace. That's Isaiah 26:3. Even if it leads to death, you can still be victorious because Jesus conquered the grave. There's nothing in this world that can defeat you if you are in Christ. That's Romans 8:37. And you know what? This is just a beautiful picture of who he is, who our Father is, what he provides for us when we're going through difficult times, gives us strength to endure. That's Isaiah 40, verse 31. And he gives us hope that he'll deliver us, 2 Corinthians 1:10. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out on us by his Holy Spirit that was given to us. Every time I read that, I think of that song. I don't know if you ever heard that song. Oh, what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we may be called the sons of God. And, you know, in the communion message this weekend, Bashar shared about being in the beloved, being a beloved. God loves us. We are his beloved. There's a couple scriptures for that, and then I'll be done. I know it's I feel like it kind of went along, but Song of Songs 2:4, he brought me into the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. You know, in biblical times, when there was a banner flown, there were different reasons for it. There was a banner flown that people were to congregate underneath for protection. Or a banner was flown for the people to come together because they were going to battle. You know, there's different reasons for a banner, but remember that his banner over us is love, whatever it is, whatever trial, whatever tribulation, whatever circumstance that we're dealing with, his banner is over us, and that's his love. This is really familiar. Obviously, everybody knows this one, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish and have eternal life. Romans 8 tells us that we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. And it says, be persuaded. Paul says, I am persuaded. Be persuaded and know this, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Nothing can separate us from that. And I just want to encourage you with this last one in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I'm going to ask you to go look it up and see what the therefore is there for. What is he telling us? Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. And that's everything that, you know, bogs us down, everything that we carry, the weight of the world, the weight of trials, the weight of unanswered prayer. Lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance, with perseverance, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And I just really pray that God himself, the God of peace, bring to you that knowing who he is, who he has called us to be, who he has done for us, who he wants to do through us, body, soul, and spirit. Know that he is the faithful one, and he will bring us through. Whatever you're going through, know these things. So that's all I have. I hope everybody's encouraged. I hope that your hope is in him as you go through this various trials or what have you. And that is so good, isn't he? So good. And we can rejoice. in all of it, the good, the bad, and the ugly. We rejoice in him.